And this is VOA 1, The Hits. Take a look and-
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, we tell you about a clean energy technology that is gaining popularity. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's science report. We close the show with the next part of our U.S. history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, Joe Seaman Graves is the city planner for the small town of Cohoes, New York. He was in search of a less costly way of providing electricity to his town. There was no extra land to build on, but Cohoes does have a nearly 6-hectare water reservoir. Seaman Graves looked up the term floating solar on Google. He was not familiar with the technology, which has long been a popular way to produce clean energy in Asia. Seaman Graves learned that the town's water reservoir could hold enough solar panels to power all city buildings, and that would save the city more than $500,000 each year. Floating solar panel projects have seen quick growth as a new form of clean energy in the United States and Asia. Floating solar panels are sought after not just for their clean power, but also because they save water by preventing evaporation. A recent study that appeared in Nature Sustainability found that more than 6,000 cities in 124 countries could produce all of their electricity demand using floating solar. It also found that the panels could save the cities enough water each year to fill 40 million Olympic-sized swimming pools. Chen Zhong Zeng is a professor at the Southern University of Science and Technology in Shenzhen, China. He worked on the study. He said American states like Florida, Nevada, and California could produce more power with floating solar than they need. The idea of floating solar is simple. Attach panels on structures that float on water. The panels serve as a cover that reduces evaporation to nearly zero. The water keeps the panels cool. This permits them to produce more electricity than land-based solar panels, which lose efficiency when they get too hot. One of the floating solar farms in the U.S. is the 4.8-megawatt project in Healdsburg, California. It was built by Ciel and Terre. The company has built 270 projects in 30 countries. Chris Bartle of Ciel and Terre estimated that floating solar costs 10 to 15% more than land solar at first. But the technology saves money long term. Deeper water can increase setup costs, and the technology cannot operate on fast-moving water, on the open ocean, or on coastlines with very large waves. Problems can come up if the solar panels cover too much of a water body's surface. That could change the water temperature and harm underwater life. Researchers are looking into whether the electromagnetic fields from floating panels could affect underwater ecosystems. However, there is no evidence of that yet. In Cohoes, public officials are preparing for the setup of their project later this year. The project will cost an estimated $6.5 million. Seaman Graves said he believes his town's floating solar project can serve as an example for other American cities. "We are an environmental justice community, and we see a big opportunity for low to moderate income cities to replicate what we're doing," he said.
Scientists say they have observed a dying star swallowing a planet for the first time. Astronomers recently reported the observation of what appeared to be a large gas planet being eaten up by its aging star. The team said the sun-like star had been expanding for a very long time and finally got so big that it swallowed the nearby planet. The researchers who made the observations said the star is in our Milky Way galaxy, about 12,000 light-years from Earth. A light-year is the distance light travels in a year, about 9.5 trillion kilometers. The findings were recently reported in a study published in Nature. Most planets are believed to meet the end of their life when the star they are orbiting runs out of energy. This process causes the star to turn into a red giant that grows very large. The star can then swallow up the planet and anything else that nears it. The scientists say the planet's destruction happened between 10,000 and 15,000 years ago near the Aquila constellation. At that time, the star was around 10 billion years old. The team said the swallowing event created a hot explosion of light, followed by a large release of dust that shot out into space. Kishile Day is a researcher from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He discovered the light explosion by accident in 2020. He was examining data captured by the Palomar Observatory based near San Diego, California. Day said he was surprised to observe a star that had suddenly increased in brightness by more than 100 times over a period of 10 days. He had been searching for binary star systems. These are sets of two stars that orbit around a common center of mass. When the larger of the stars takes bites out of the other, a bright explosion called an outburst happens. But Day said his examinations suggested the outburst was surrounded by cold gas, meaning it could not be a binary system. He learned from another space telescope that the star had also started releasing large amounts of dust months before the outburst. While scientists had observed past star expansions, this was the first time they have been able to observe a complete planet-swallowing event. The researchers said the collected data showed the swallowed planet was a gas giant with a similar mass to the planet Jupiter. They noted that the planet had become so close to its star that it could complete a full orbit in just one day. The planet is believed to have engulfed the planet over a period of around 100 days, the team said. The bright explosion happened in the final 10 days as the planet was totally destroyed. Miguel Montargis is an astronomer at the Paris Observatory who was not involved in the research. He told the French news agency AFP the star was thousands of degrees hotter than the planet when the destruction happened. He explained, "It's like putting an ice cube into a boiling pot." Astronomers say the same event is expected to happen to other planets, including Mercury, Venus, and Earth. Day said our sun will likely reach its red giant period in about 5 billion years. Astronomers do not know if more planets are circling the star at a safer distance. If so, Day said they may have thousands of years before also getting swallowed up. Now that they know what to look for, the researchers will be looking for more similar events. They believe thousands of planets around other stars will likely suffer the same fate as this one did. Morgan McLeod is a postdoctoral researcher at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics in Massachusetts. He told Reuters news agency he finds it humbling to think about our own planet facing the same destruction. McLeod noted that since Earth is much smaller, its destruction will not cause such an outburst. When Earth is eventually swallowed, the sun will hardly notice, he said. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn is here now to talk more about his science report. Thanks for joining me today, Brian.
Of course, Ashley. Glad to be here.
As we heard, astronomers recently reported their first observation of a dying star swallowing a very large planet. Why is this the first time this has happened?
So the short answer is that new data collecting instruments made this discovery possible. The scientists noted the observation was made possible through use of a high-tech camera attached to a large telescope that sits on a hilltop in San Diego, California. And the camera's job is to continuously image the whole northern sky and search for stars that quickly change in brightness. So it was data from this camera, which began operating in 2018, that was first noticed in 2020 by a member of the research team.
The report also points out that the finding was made by accident, correct?
Yes. The researcher I mentioned, Kishila Day, had actually been searching for binary star systems. These are sets of two stars that orbit around a common center of mass. When one of these stars takes a bite out of another, bright explosions also happen. But in this case, he realized something else was going on.
The researchers also noted that someday Earth itself is likely to be swallowed up by our sun at the end of its life. But we don't have to worry about that anytime soon, right?
Well, yes, this is what astronomers are saying. They estimate such an event for Earth would likely not happen for another 5 billion years.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being here, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
I want to say to you that for the next 4 years, there'll be a Democrat in the White House and you're looking at him.
Presidential elections are exciting events in American politics. Few elections for the White House have been as exciting as the one in 1948. And few have had such surprising results.
This is NBC Television.
We have obtained the results from the state of Ohio, which assures victory for President Truman and Senator Barkley. With Ohio's 25 electoral votes, President Truman and Senator Barkley will have a total of 266 votes in the Electoral College. This is the minimum figure necessary for victory.
Four candidates were nominated for president in the 1948 election. One was the man already in the White House, the candidate of the Democratic Party, President Harry S. Truman. Truman had been the party's vice presidential candidate with Franklin Roosevelt in 1944. When Roosevelt died a year later, Truman became president. He was the one who made the decision to drop atomic bombs on Japan to end World War II. But Truman did not do well during his first few months in office. He made several serious mistakes. He had trouble with the economy and organized labor. His party lost control of the Senate and the House of Representatives in the congressional elections of 1946. Most Americans had little faith in Truman's ability as a leader. They expected that he would lose the presidential election in 1948 if he chose to be a candidate. President Truman did choose to run. He took several strong steps to show his leadership in the months following the Democratic defeat in the congressional elections. Truman called on Congress to pass a number of laws to help black people. He took firm actions in his foreign policy toward the Soviet Union. These included the Marshall Plan and the Berlin Airlift, as we discussed in our last two programs. And he began to speak out with much more strength to the American people. Truman succeeded in winning the presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. He chose Alvin Barkley, a senator from Alabama, for vice president. Senator Barkley and I will win this election and make these Republicans like it. Don't you forget that, Truman declared in accepting the nomination. The Republicans nominated New York State Governor Thomas Dewey. Dewey was a wise and courageous man. He was also very serious. Truman campaigned by telling the voters that Dewey did not understand the needs of the average American. He called Dewey a candidate of rich people. One day, Dewey got angry at a railroad engineer because his campaign train was late for a speech. Truman said this proved that Dewey did not understand the problems of railroad engineers and other working Americans. He tried to make the election a choice between hard-working Democrats and rich Republicans. Two other men also were candidates for the presidency. Both were from newly created parties. One was Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. He was a candidate of the States' Rights Democratic Party, also known as the Dixiecrat Party. Most of his supporters were white people from the southeastern part of the country. They opposed giving full rights to black people. The other candidate was Henry Wallace of the Progressive Party. His supporters believed that Truman had turned away from the progressive ideas of Franklin Roosevelt. Both Thurmond and Wallace had broken away from the Democratic Party. Most political experts believed these two candidates would take votes away from President Truman. They believed the Republican Dewey would surely win the election. President Truman did not have strong public support. But Harry Truman was a fighter. He did not believe the election was lost. He took his campaign to the American people.
On election day, the president, the Congress, the governor, the mayor, all cease as the government. You are the government, because then you decide what sort of a government you want. And when you do like you did in 1946, when two-thirds of you stayed home, you get just what you deserve. You got that good-for-nothing 80th Congress.
He said he had always campaigned by going around, meeting, and talking to people. Running for president was no different, he said. He just got on a train and started across the country to tell people what was going on. He wanted to talk to them face to face. When you stand there in front of them and talk to them, he said, the people can tell whether you are telling them the facts or not.
If you give the Republicans complete control of this government, you might just as well turn it over to the special interests, and we'll start on a boom and bust cycle and try to go through just what we did in the 20s and end up with a crash, which in the long run will do nobody any good but the communists.
Truman campaigned with great energy. He made hundreds of speeches as his train crossed the country. It became known as the Whistle Stop Campaign because it stopped at some of the smallest towns and villages in the country. Truman gave speeches from the back of his campaign train, the Ferdinand Magellan. He spoke to farmers in Iowa. He visited a children's home in Texas. And he discussed issues with small groups of people who came to visit his train when it stopped in rural areas of Montana and Idaho. Dewey and the Republicans laughed at Truman's campaign. They said it showed that Truman needed votes so badly that he had to spend his time looking for them in small villages. Truman said the criticism proved that Republicans did not care for the average American. Dewey also campaigned across the country by train, but he showed little of the fire and emotion in his speeches that made Truman's campaign so exciting. Dewey's speeches were safe. One reporter wrote that Dewey was acting like a man who had already been elected and was only passing time waiting to take office. Dewey had good reasons to feel so sure of being elected. Almost every political expert in the country said Truman had no chance of winning. The Wall Street Journal, for example, printed a story about what Dewey would do in the White House after the election. And the New York Times said that Dewey would win the election by a large majority. Truman refused to accept those views. Instead, he spoke with more and more emotion against Dewey. Most Americans still believed that Truman would lose, but they liked his courage in fighting until the end. One supporter shouted, "Give 'em hell, Harry," them being the Republicans. Soon, supporters across the country were shouting, "Give 'em hell, Harry." Truman made special appeals to working people, Jews, blacks, Catholics, and other traditional supporters of the Democratic Party. In his final radio speech before the election, he promised to work for peace and a government that would help all people. Then he went to his home in the state of Missouri to wait with the rest of the country for the election results. Republicans across the country greeted Election Day happily. They were sure that this was the day that the people would choose to send a Republican back to the White House after 16 years. Some of the early voting results from the northeastern states showed Truman winning. But few Republicans worried. They were sure Dewey would be the winner when all the votes were counted. The Chicago Tribune was also sure who the next president would be, declaring in a huge headline, "Dewey defeats Truman." But the newspaper was wrong. Everyone was wrong. Everyone, that is, except Harry Truman and the Americans who gave him their votes. Truman went to bed on election night before all the votes were counted. He told his assistant that he would win. He awoke early the next morning to learn that he was right. Not only did he defeat Dewey, as he thought he would, but he won by a good number of votes. And he helped many Democratic congressional candidates win as well. The Democrats captured both houses of Congress. After the results were announced, as heard in this old recording, Truman showed his sense of humor by joking about the predictions of his defeat.
I had on the National Broadcasting Company, and Kelton Bourne was saying, "While the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote, we have yet to hear from him." Very sure that when the country vote comes in, Mr. Truman will be defeated by an overwhelming majority. And I went back to bed and went to sleep.
Harry Truman would make many difficult decisions as America moved into the second half of the 20th century. Truman would send American troops to help the United Nations defend South Korea against aggression from the North. He would join other Western leaders in establishing a new alliance, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They established NATO to provide for the joint defense of Europe and North America. Truman and later presidents would make decisions to send large amounts of economic and military aid to countries around the world. Many of these decisions were necessary because of America's new responsibilities after World War II as leader of the Western world.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.